You?
Yeah.
They carried three catches.
Cameras back. We're rolling. Mm-hmm.
Yogi, let's go back to 46. Tell us about the year in Newark, how well you did. Was it fun? And
yeah, it was. I played a half a year there. I played 77 games there only. And
you had did you have a good year?
Yeah, I hit about 315. I was batting 315. I drove in pretty good runs. Forget how many home runs I had. Maybe Claire knows more. But I had a pretty good year, and they brought me up the last 2 weeks of the season.
They were aware of you, but you must have been aware of the Yankees too, that close to the Yankees. What were your thoughts about crossing the river and getting to the
great.
Big team?
It was great, you kidding? Going over there.
Can you remember your first big league game? I mean, when you went over there?
We played Philadelphia.
In 46?
Yeah, 46. My first hit was a home run of Phil Washington. Hit a home run. Somebody was telling me it was a different pitcher. I said it was Phil Marshallson.
Now, tell us about the clubhouse. You walk in the clubhouse your first day as a Yankee.
Big Pete saw me before I came over there. You know, Walter Matheson, when he was with me at the submarine base, he took me to the Yankee Stadium because Washington was playing in there. Then he took me into the Yankee club to meet Big Pete.
She?
And he said, I'm going to be a... He says, I'm a sailor. He said, you don't even look like a sailor. You know, he kidded me a little bit and all that. And I told Lil Pete, see, I used to be the equipment man for New London Submarine when the football season was started. And you know, Dub Jones, you heard of Dub Jones?
Cleveland Browns, great running back.
He was, he roomed on top of me. We were in the same.
He was a great football player.
And actually my son roomed with him when he played at Baltimore with his son. The other Jones.
The quarterback, yeah.
Quarterback. And I told Little Pete was just to take care of the New York football over at the Polo Grounds. And we were playing a black school then. And I told Little Pete, I'm going to be a Yankee. I'm going to be up here. He looked at me and said, who in the hell are you? You know, and he said, you're going to be a Yankee. I said, I'm going to be up here. I'm going to make this team. And he didn't believe me. He thought I was crazy. So he saw me at spring training and he found out. But I always thought I'd be a pretty good hitter. I really did. You know, like Dickie used to get on me. He said, I don't bear down enough to get it. He said, you could be a 300 hitter if you wanted to. I like to hit with men on, Faye. I don't know why, but I like to hit with men on. It made you bear down. And a lot of guys, pitcher's in trouble. You're not in trouble. When you got men on base, he's in trouble, not you.
Was Bill Dickey tough on you, or did he?
No, he
was very generous with his time.
Generally, he'd tell me what to do, and you do it. That's all, like blocking balls and everything, which you have to do, and all the things. How to block the plate today. And I think a lot of kids today invite themselves to get hit by blocking the plate. They don't block it, they block it. But they stay there. If I got the ball before you, you're not going to hit me. I don't care. I'm not going to stay there and be an Iron Man to get hit on. But that's what I see a lot happens today. They catch the ball, they want to stay there, and they get their butt knocked over. You don't have to. I could hurt you more than you could hurt me. Because I got that ball. I could hit you in the mouth with it if I want to.
In retrospect, do you think you would have had the career you did if Bill Dickey didn't take the time to show you,
well,
to
I don't know.
Teach
they play in the outfield a little bit, Claire. I don't know, because they always wanted my bat in it somewhere, just like Elston Howard. You know, we played outfield, and he caught. And we had pretty good harmony. You know, you had Blanchard could play outfield, too, if he wanted to, and caught. We had a lot of versatility on our club. You know, you had infielders that could play three positions. McDougal could play all three. Kubek could play them all.
But early on, when they had Houck and Silvera, those guys were catchers. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about that team. I mean, who was on the Yankee team when you first came up in late 46 and 47?
Well, DiMaggio.
Because DiMaggio was there, and Henrik was there.
Henrik was there. Keller was there. Sternweiss was there. Billy Johnson we had.
George McQuinn.
George McQuinn. Well, we got George McQuinn 47, 47. Yeah. And Lonnie Fry we got 47. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Was Red Rolfe still there?
No. He was managing Yale. He was a coach at Yale. Now, yeah. I get a lot of people on that. You know, we played Yale when I was in New London, and I was surprised when I saw him, the man, the coach of, you tell a lot of people today, do you know whoever coached Yale? They don't know.
Yeah.
And he was the coach there.
And then who were the pitchers?
For us, Joe yeah. Page, Frank Shade, Don Johnson, Winsloff.
When did Rashi come along?
Yeah, 47. No, yeah, 47, he came along.
You didn't get Reynolds till 48.
No, we got him at 47. We trained for Joe Gordon.
Was it 47?
Seven.
Okay, because that's the one DiMaggio said he.
Yeah, that's the one.
Red Embry was going to be the pitcher, and he said, no, get Reynolds.
No, get Reynolds. Mm-hmm. We finally got Red Embry, didn't we? One time, I think we did get him in the trade.
I don't remember.
Who did you want to meet the most on that team? Was DiMaggio a hero of yours? Did you have a hero on that team?
Well, playing with DiMaggio, then Claire, you know, I had a lot of fun with Keller. You know, they teased him about me, you know, and all that. But, well, you had Phil Rizzuto there. What the heck? You had a lot of good players. George McQuinn, I saw when I was a kid playing with the Browns. I think he was the best first baseman I ever saw. He could feel, boy. And
who did you hang around with? Who were your buddies when you came up? Who'd you go to dinner with when you were on the road?
Well, the 47 season, Phil, we hung around. Like, you know, we traveled on the train then.
Yeah.
It was nice. You know, you got to know, talk to everybody and everything.
Were you
that
close?
Was Frank Shea I was close to, because yeah. we roomed together. We stayed at the Edison Hotel together over there. And you know, you're a rookie. You don't know what the heck is going to happen. Joe lived, I think, with Jimmy Cannon 1 year, I think, Joe. And,
of course, Shea wasn't Shea a rookie in that year?
Oh, yeah. Frank Shea was there. Don Johnson was, too. I forget, you know, a little bit. You know, I see some pictures, like, you see some of them on channels. And you see the team, I think, hey, we had him. I don't remember we had him on the team. You know, we always got somebody in September. George managed to get somebody.
And the manager then was Bucky Harris, right?
Bucky in 47, 48. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about him. Was he?
I thought he did a good job. He really did. He's the one who saw me play. He was at Buffalo when I played in Newark. And he was the general manager. He wasn't the manager then. He was the general manager there. And he saw me play. He played me outfield and catch.
And what happened to him? I mean, obviously he won in 47, and then in 48, he was out. Well, he had trouble with.
Well, I don't know what happened there, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
He didn't get along with.
Because we only lost by one or two games, I think, that year.
And then didn't Dickey manage just briefly after?
No, Dickey got fired when I come up in 46. Johnny Noon took over when I come up. Dickey was the manager that
year. That's right, yeah.
And he got fired in 46.
Yogi, going back a second to your first encounters with Joe DiMaggio, what was his, how did he treat rookies? Did you feel that you could talk to him at any time? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say that. You're scared to talk to him. You know, I always remember when you walked in the club, he always had his legs crossed. And he always had that cup of coffee in his, a cup of coffee. And he smoked then at that time. And smoke, and you know how you spit coffee between your teeth, you do that. Then the one who agitated the most, I think, was Keller and Phil. You know, they know each other. They played a little while with each other. But I got to know Joe, very quiet guy. He always was. You know, played card with us on the train. He was good. I didn't have no trouble with him. But once he got off that train, he had friends meet him all the time. He went his way. And that's the way it was. I know a lot of guys say he was bad. As far as I know, I played with him 5 years, and I was with him 5 years. And after he finished playing ball, I was in a lot of golf tournaments with him. I ate with him. And he was very good. My wife, Carmen, liked him.
If he was the leader of the Yankees, how did he lead? How did he?
Oh, what he did.
By example. Age,
my God. Never walked. I never seen him walk to the outfield, or you know, he always ran to the outfield.
You know, someone told me a story that when you first came up, you hit a couple of ground
balls.
Yeah,
he told me you better move it a little bit.
Was he the one who told you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell us a story. You hit a couple of
I hit ground balls and he just loped down. He said, you can run faster than that. You know. So, but that's one thing I seen, because if he always ran, and if you just juggle that ball, I think he was like Willie Mays. You know, if you just miss it, he was down to second base. There were times you see him run down to second base, you say, where's he going? He's not going to get there. But he got there. Anything. He never did anything wrong. I never seen him slide for a ball. Everything was there. Caught it.
Yogi, I know that when Jackie Robinson came to the Dodgers, it was very important to the African-American community in New York. The Yankees had a real core of Italian-Americans. Can you talk about your relationship with the Italian-American community in New York? Was that a special time? Were you guys heroes in the community?
I don't know if we were or not.
No.
But we had a lot of fun. Jackie, I knew, when we played against each other in Newark, and he was in Montreal, I talked to him when he came up to hit. I talked to every hitter when I played. You know, keeps you in the game.
Larry Doby said you wouldn't be quiet.
Right? I know. I always talk. That's all. But I never talked, though, when the ball was on the way. I never talked that. But I used to talk to the umpires before I did them. They're on almost every pitch, they talk.
Yogi, talk to us about the first African-Americans coming into baseball. Doby was the first in your league. What was the reaction? Did anybody realize that was...
No, I don't think it bothered anybody on our team. Don't forget, then we got Elston Howard.
That was a long time after.
That bank, but
how about Vic Power? He'd been with you a little bit?
A little bit. We traded him to Kansas City. They thought he was a good fielder and everything. And that part, I know, I think we got some good players for him.
But we're moving ahead. But in 49, you're playing the Dodgers, and they have Campanella, they have Newcomb, and they have Jackie, and you guys don't have any black ball players. Did you ever talk about it? Did you ever think that it was going to be hard to compete if you didn't get some?
No, maybe they had their mind on Elston there. You know, Elston came
up. He was at Kansas City. He played
City,
with the Monarchs. Right?
I really don't know that part. We had good scouting, I know that. And they waited for certain guys to get, I guess, you know. Don't forget, we got Hector Lopez later on. We got Suke Simpson, too, for a while we had.
Yeah. And, of course, you won the 49 series, so you couldn't have felt too intimidated. But
well, you didn't think about it. I really did.
Did you play against any of the Negro League guys, barnstorming, or in any of the years when?
No, I never barnstormed with
So you never saw it? Did you ever see?
Time I barnstormed, we were in St. Louis when I went back home. Gargiola, Red Shandies. Some of the guys from the Hill. We went barnstorming ourselves.
Did you ever go see the Newark team when Larry was playing, or
no,
did you guys check each other out?
A lot. I saw Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson play. My brothers played against him.
Oh, wow.
I was a bad boy for the team.
And St. Louis.
Throw.
When
Saint
you were
Louis.
A kid, yeah.
Yeah, wow. St. Louis. He could throw. So and Josh could hit.
Tell
they
us
say
about
Josh may have been one of the great catchers. When you look back, do you remember thinking that?
Oh, he was great. You know, they used to come in maybe once or twice a year, one game. You know, they play like an exhibition game. It wasn't a regular game. They played against the whites, you know, and the black. And they used to put on that phantom infield. That was terrific to see him, what they did and everything. It was good. And Paige, like I said, he could throw.
Now, you hit against him in 48 when he was with Cleveland.
Yeah, well, he was low.
He was
nobody knew his age. I don't know how old he was then. Yeah, I did all right against him when he was in St. Louis, Cleveland there a little bit.
Yogi, when you first came up, were there any times when you really doubted? Were there any bad times? I mean, did you have any times when you really struggled and you were really down about?
No.
You never had any bad times.
Well, when I was batting real good, I went 0 for 32 once.
Yeah.
And I was batting real good. I did end up hitting 300, but I was up there pretty good. I went 0 for 32.
Yogi, you touched on the Dodgers and playing against Jackie for the first time. Could you talk about baseball in New York a little bit? There were three teams. One or the other of the three was always winning. But what about that rivalry, the crosstown rivalry, being able to see the
See, we never played the Giants that much, Claire. We always played the Dodgers that Sandlot exhibition game. And we played the Dodgers a lot of spring training because we knew each other there. We really did. The Giants, we only played them when we played in the series because they were never went down spring training with us. Like they say, Willie Mays. See, I didn't get to see Willie that much, except for World Series. Then, you know, you see guys yourself, you say, boy, that guy's a good ball player. And so the Dodgers, we played a lot. A lot of people thought we were enemies. We weren't enemies. I went barnstorming with them guys and everything. We went to Japan a few times and Hawaii, and we played together.
Were you friends with Roy Campanella?
Oh, Roy, sure. Heck yeah.
Talk catching?
Yeah, we did that. I remember when he had the liquor store in Harlem and everything. Sugar Ray was a good friend of mine, the fighter. He had the liquor. He owned almost all the Harlem Derby.
Tell us about the contracts and the way you did business with. You came up in 46, you played in 47, mm-hmm. you had a good year. At the end of the year, George Weiss, what happened? Did they want to give
he
you
was tough.
He was tough.
He was tough. My first year, I made five, and I hit 3-5 my first year. And I won the $10,000. He wanted to give me nine. So I sent the contract back. I said, I want $10,000. He wrote back to me and said, son, you better take this $9,000. You're lucky to be here, he said. So he was a tough man. Then I could go almost all the way up what I got from. The highest raise I ever got was 10. And I had to work like heck to get that.
So winning the World Series and collecting that check was very important to you in those days.
Oh, well, at that time, you know, $5,000 was a lot of money then. That's all we got. The first one, I think, was about $4,800, 47.
And when you started making some money, did you help with your family and did you do
I helped all along, I'll tell you the truth. I helped all along.
With your father and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for
you. Helped all along. Till we moved here, my wife and I moved here. We still help out.
And what would you do in the off season in 47? Let's say this.
Get a job.
You got a job.
Got a job.
See, Joe
and I worked in Sears and Roebuck. He worked in a sporting goods store, and I worked in the hardware department.
Talk about Joe a little bit.
Always kids himself. He was a bad ball player. Joe wasn't a bad ball player. He hurt himself. I think when Jackie Robinson ran into him at first base, he busted it because I went to the hospital and saw him. You know, he had put a pin in his arm, and I think that's when look at 46, he had a pretty good year.
Had a great World Series.
He was doing right.
And you knew him since childhood. You were childhood buddies.
Yeah. We played soccer with each other. We played every sport there was, softball. He could tell you stories on me. Like I pitched a game of softball, I had a ball under my arm. And I didn't want to pitch, it was sore and everything. And Joe said, you're pitching, you know. So I went out and pitched. Boy, the guy, our manager got me and squeezed that ball so I could pitch. And we had more games. You know, when we played either, you know, we didn't have any cups or anything we played. We caught without anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny. But nothing ever happened, but we're lucky. But. Well, uniforms, we never had uniforms. Our club never had a uniform.
Tough accusations against Joe is that he was not receptive to the black guys coming into the league. Do you think that's totally untrue?
Who, Garagiola?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, Joe gets along with anybody.
That's my view.
He gets along with anybody. He don't have any exception at all.
Well, Roger Kahn wrote that terrible story that he spit at Jackie and...
Spit at him?
Yeah.
Joe never mentioned that to me. I never heard that. That's the first time I heard of that.
But you never saw any of that?
No.
What are the Yankees? When Larry was with Cleveland, were the Yankees at all tough on
him? No, we didn't bother. No kidding. I tell you, our guys were real good. They didn't bother one bit on that. No kidding.
Did they have to be told? I mean, it seemed to be a team policy in Philadelphia.
What the hell? He's there to make a living. just like we are. He's a
very
player.
Very businesslike approach.
We did.
And no, Ben, nobody was yelling the F word.
No. I never saw anything like that. Elston, when we got Elston, we took him around. We were, Mickey and Whitey were real good with him. We always took him to the movies, said that he didn't want to go. Come on, you're going with us, you know, and all that. And we came. Elston was one of my best friends, I'll tell you that. He was great. And Mickey loved him. So all of them loved him.
The quiet man, Elston?
Elston, yeah, very good.
Back to Joe. Well,
don't get him mad. I saw, what do you call it, Cliff Johnson the other day, you know, at the Old Timers. Yeah, I remember when Elston picked him up, you know, he was squirting champagne in Elston's face. He picked him up. They had that big ice thing. He picked him up and threw him in there, boy. And you know, we clicked Cliff Johnson the other day. He said, boy, that man was strong.
Yeah, because Johnson's a big guy.
He picked him up like it's not just threw him.
Back to Joe. You stay close to Joe in the off season.
Well, we talk. He lives in Arizona now. Yeah. Hey, and,
so you've been very close to him all your life.
Oh yeah, we always talk about things and see how everything's going.
Yeah. Well, he's been a wonderful friend.
Well, we play in the Brian Gumbels together. We play together. We play that shootout together all the time.
Seems to me that Joe Graziola is almost as famous for yogiisms as you are.
He got a lot of stories or something maybe he didn't tell. Now, Joe was always witty. I tell you, when he did something, like he, you know, wanted to become a broadcaster, I used to go across the street, he'd be watching the game, you know, and be broadcasting the game. He'd have it on tape and everything.
He really worked that.
I've been in his house in Arizona. He had every sporting newspaper that ever was printed, you know, in the... You know, yeah. Saw a safe life where he could look up things. He worked out. He was a very smart kid even when he was a young guy, Joe.
It seems to me that Joe Graziola never forgot his peers either with the work he does with the baseball assistance team. Yeah. Does that surprise you at
he's
all?
He's got that the Indians he works for.
Yeah, that's right. He's been one of them.
I've been there. I've been up there with him. I see what he does for them. He's got them a lot of stuff, and then the baseball thing he does, and he's on that tobacco kick. Every time he sees me chewing something, what do you got in your mouth?
Can we go back and talk about the 47 season? What was your recollection of that year? Obviously, you won, and you went into the World Series with the Dodgers, and you had a terrific. Year. Tell us about that team. Obviously, Shea had a very...
Shea won two games.
Yeah, Shea had a good year.
Good year.
And you had Page.
Yeah, Page.
Tell us about Page. People may not have heard as much about
him. Joe Page is a good relief pitcher. Can throw hard. Very hard.
Left-handed.
Left-handed pitcher.
Used to walk people and then strike out the side.
Strike out, yeah. But I think they gave him a chance on that. Towards the end, when we were playing the Red Sox or something, and he come in and struck out the side in the bullpen, that's when he really came to his own then.
And you were catching then?
Yeah, I caught that game. And then the World Series, I think Sherman Lawler divided the catching in 47. I played outfield a little bit. And throwing, they stole on me then in 47. I didn't do any good. I was bad.
You ended up playing in so many World Series, but when you got to your first one, what was your feeling?
Oh, heck, in my first year in the league, it was great, my gosh. You know, I played 17 years, Claire. I played 14 of them. My gosh, that's pretty good. And I feel sorry for Ernie Banks, Luke Appling. They've never been in one. Look how long they played. That's what you strive at, you know, playing the World Series. If again, I wish these kids today think about that. I hope they do.
Did you ever worry that they might trade you? I mean, did you ever worry that you might?
No, I didn't care who I played for, I'll tell you the truth, Faye. As long as I had to play ball, I didn't care. I didn't care who I would have signed with.
But being a Yankee must have been a very important part of your life because the Yankees
heck yeah. I'm glad I didn't sign with the Cardinals. Although we might have had a pretty good team then if I signed with them. We could have Mutuals playing then.
Right. You were the good luck charm.
But, heck yeah, I met a lot of friends here in New York. I think they got the best baseball fans too here in New York. They know what baseball is, I think.
You were always thought of as being very good at dealing with the pitchers. When did that, how did that skill develop and how did you?
Well, I watched a lot.
Did Dickie help you with that to some extent?
No, I did that on my own. You know, I used to watch the hitters where they stand, how they stride and everything. And I go by that, I really did. I even told William, William said, you know, William just stand different, you know. But in Fenway, he stand is normal. But in Yankee Stadium, he got close. I used to tell him, I say, hey, you change your stance here.
And tell us about the pitchers. Obviously, you had that wonderful four, Reynolds, Rashi, Lopat, and Ford, starting in 50. Yeah, but even before that, you had Reynolds, you had Rashi, and you had Lopat. Tell us about those three. They were great
pitchers. They were great pitchers.
They're all different, obviously.
Well, Rashi was a fastball. Reynolds, you know, a lot of guys think Reynolds was just fast. Reynolds had a good curveball.
Yeah.
He had a very good curveball. And
Lopat was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you didn't even have to put anything down. He threw what he wanted anyhow.
Really?
Screwball, you catch it.
But he had a lot of different pitches then.
Oh, he had the screwball. He'd throw 3-0 screwball and get it over.
But Bobby Brown told me he thought Lopat may have been the smartest pitcher he ever played with.
He was pretty good.
He said he knew what he was doing. He had a strategy.
He did. Yeah, I remember one time when the Cleveland, they're all out there watching him, you know. They're not watching him. He's watching the hitters, Lopat. And they're all going the right field, you know. You know, because Cleveland couldn't beat him at all.
Yeah.
And they tell me, yo, we got pitch inside today. I see what they're trying to do today. You throw that little slider inside, you know, and all that. And Rashi's best pitch was a fastball. Rashi could go up the ladder with you and had good control.
But it must have moved, huh?
You never seen a pitcher's ball go up. His ball used to rise a little bit. That's how you got a lot of pop-ups. As you look at him, they did have a lot of pop-ups. So.
I remember asking you one time if you had to have one of them for the seventh game, which one would it be? And you said that Rashi was probably the one who was underrated, that he was very competitive.
Very competitive. Oh, yeah. Rashi never say a word. He used to get me. I used to get on him all the time. You know, he used to get a little wild. I used to go out pitching.